And if you have a Bible with you, you might like to turn to that passage that we read in Acts chapter 20. If you look at the commentaries on this passage, they all talk about this as a word to ministers and to elders and to church officers. But I don't want you to think that that's all that there is in this passage. It is a word to ministers and elders and church officers. But there is a deeper message. So don't just settle back and think this is not for me. I'm not a minister or a preacher or anything like that. There's a deeper lesson. Paul had come to a crossroads in his life. We've all either said that or heard someone say that, haven't we? I've come to a crossroads. I've got to make a mind up. I've got to go ahead one way or another. Well, Paul had come to a crossroads in his life. Look, for example, at verse 22. And now he says, "Behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." Or again, if you look at verses 36 to 38. "And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should not see his face any more." He'd come to a crossroads. And that's what I want to study with you this morning. The business of coming to a crossroads in life. Now, I'm conscious that there are several, not just one, there are several members who are at a crossroads at the moment. And so, I want to say to you, I haven't chosen this passage particularly because of you this morning. If you've been looking at the notice board, you will see that this has been planned for several months. We planned this series ahead, and so it's in God's providence that we come to this passage this morning. And I want you to take this then not as a word from me, but as a word from the Lord, if it's particularly fitting to you this morning. So here then we have Paul coming to a crossroads in his life. And there are three things that he does as he comes to this crossroads. And these are the things I want to study with you. First of all, in verses 17 to 21 and then 26 to 27, he reviews the past, that which he's going to leave behind. And then secondly, verses 28 to 35, he made provision for their future, for the future of those people that he was leaving behind. And then thirdly, verses 22 to 25, he considered his own future. All very logical. It's just what you'd expect, isn't it? First of all, he reviewed the past. Secondly, he thought about and made provision for their future. And thirdly, he thought about and made provision for his own future. But you know, it's not just logical. It's something that we often neglect, but it's utterly biblical. And I want to just point out to you that it's exactly what our Lord did when his life came to a crossroads just before the cross at Calvary. There he was in the garden. And in John chapter 17 we have the high priestly prayer. And just notice what Jesus does as he comes to the end of his worldly ministry, his earthly ministry. No longer is he going to be walking up and down the lanes of Galilee. No longer is he going to be preaching in the temple. That's come to an end. He's about to be crucified. And in John chapter 17, let me just read out some of the things that Jesus says here in prayer. Verse 4, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." You see, he's reviewing what he's done. Verse 6, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." Verse 8, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Verse 12, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. And verse 14, I have given them thy word. So here he is, you see, Jesus himself doing exactly this. He's coming to the end of his earthly ministry, and he's reviewing that which has been done. And then secondly, he considers their future. Look at verse 1, for example. These things spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son might glorify thee. I'm sorry, I've gone on to the third point there, haven't I? He's thinking about his own future there, and he does it again in verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. But going back to the second point, preparing or providing for them, verse 9, I pray for them, I pray not only for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. See, he's making provision for those that he's going to leave behind. Second half of verse 11. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And then of course he prays for people like us, people who come later. Neither pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe in me through their word. So Jesus himself looks at these three points. He reviews his ministry, now coming to an end, the earthly ministry. He provides for those that he's leaving behind, and then he reviews his future. He prays there in verses 1 and 5, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And so as we come to our crossroads in life, we often neglect it. But here is something which is utterly scriptural. To stop and to take stock. What have I done in this place where God has placed me? Have I been faithful? In Ephesians 2 and verse 10, we're told that God foreordains good works that we should walk in them. And so here's the question. I've come to a crossroads in my life. Things are going to be different. Have I fulfilled that purpose for which God put me where I've been for this last period of time? And of course, if you have, when you move on, there will be a gap, inevitably, because you won't be doing what you were doing. So provision for those that I'm going to leave behind. And then thirdly, a prayerful concern about my own future. So, three questions which we need to ask ourselves when we come to these crossroads in our own lives, when we have to face up to, for example, leaving school. I remember very vividly when I left primary school, some of the girls in our class were in tears because we were changing schools. Well, you know, it was a crossroads. Young people though they may be, it was a crossroads leaving school. And then getting your first job, leaving home, getting married, retiring, even dying. Crossroads, they come in life. Every one of them is encountered by us. And here is the scriptural way of dealing with crossroads in our lives. Review the past. Make provision for those that you leave. And then prayerful concern about your own future. Well then, I want to try and look at these three points with you. First of all, Paul's review of his past ministry at Ephesus. Verses 17 to 21 and verses 26 and 27. Look first of all at verse 21. He speaks of the way in which he testified both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he'd been doing. He'd been testifying, speaking to men and women about the gospel. Is there any greater gift that we can give to those around us than to speak to them of the gospel? Is it something that we do? Look at verse 19. He speaks of the way in which he served the Lord with all humility of mind. He was an educated man, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and yet here he is serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, or literally adversities, which befell me by the laying in wait of the Jews. As we've gone through this series, we've seen the way in which on this second missionary journey Paul was cast out of Philippi and Berea and Thessalonica. Athens, they didn't want to hear him. Corinth, Ephesus was the only place where he had a good hearing of the preaching of the gospel, and he's particularly concerned about that ministry at Ephesus. That's what he's referring to here as he reviews that 3 years. Look at verse 31. He spent 3 years at Ephesus, and he's reviewing this time that he spent with these people. And what does he say of it? He says, I've preached the gospel. I've preached it in adversity. You remember how he was thrown out of Philippi. He had no encouragement, largely because of the Jews. And yet he didn't give up. He went on, and he preached, and he preached. He would not be discouraged. He wouldn't allow himself to be discouraged. Look at verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. He was concerned to give them the whole counsel of God, all that will be profitable to them. He taught them, it says, publicly and from house to house. He was willing to stand publicly and to preach. He was willing to go into homes and to sit at the fireside and to speak to people of the gospel. This is Paul reviewing his time. The way in which he'd ministered amongst them and sought to present them with the gospel. But notice something else about this. He's not just talking to himself, and you know when you're talking to yourself you can put a gloss on things and make things sound better than they really are. He's doing this publicly. He's called the elders. Look at verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And he's before them. He's taking an account of his own faithfulness in the ministry. I wonder, would we dare to do that? When we come to one of our crossroads in life, to say to people, have I been faithful? Have I left you in any doubt at all about the gospel? See, that this is what Paul was about. That's how thoroughgoing he was, how in earnest he was. And he says at the beginning of verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day. He's wanting their contribution. Now, do you accept, do you agree with me that this is what I've done? And then in verse 26 he goes on in a most remarkable way, that I'm pure from the blood of all men. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. That takes us back. He's quoting from the book of Ezekiel, and there are two passages in Ezekiel from which he's talking. The first of one is in chapter 3 and verses 17 to 21, and the other is in chapter 33 verses 1 to 9. But let me just read you some verses from Ezekiel 3, 17 and 18. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor seekest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Paul's quoting that. He's anxious to be sure that he's in no man's debt, that he has passed on the message of the gospel faithfully. Let me read those verses again. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Are Christians not watchmen to the community in which they live and operate? Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. And Paul is calling these elders, these people who know the church in Ephesus, he's calling to account, and he's saying, now, have I not told you the gospel? I believe I'm free from the blood of all men. I believe that I have given all of you the gospel. I wonder if you can say that. As you come to the end of some part of your life, some phase of your life, some crossroads, can you look back and say, all of those people that I have encountered in that context, they know the gospel. I've spoken to them of the gospel. I'm free from the blood of all men. Can you say that? I can't. Can you? Now, of course, there's forgiveness. There is forgiveness with the Lord when we fall down. But it's not the way it should be. Ephesians 2:10. Good works, foreordained that we should walk in them. God, in his providence, has placed you where you are for a purpose. To be that light set on the hill, that salt which hasn't lost its savour. So, here is Paul, coming to a crossroads. And he's not just wandering on with a starry gaze to the future. He's in a workmanlike way, bringing this phase of his life to a close, reviewing what's gone by, ensuring that he has been a faithful ambassador in that place where God has placed him. A faithful ambassador for Christ. It's a challenge, isn't it? Can we say what Paul says here? It's a remarkable statement. He's saying there is no one that I have left in any doubt as I move on. At Ephesus, there is no one I have left in any doubt about the gospel. There was a statement made this week by someone, I don't know, in the newspaper. And they said the problem with the church today is that it makes too few demands. All it does is it gives pleasant platitudes, encouraging thoughts and warm feelings to people. Well now, here is a demand. Here is a challenge. You are where you are because in God's providence he's put you there. Are you faithful where you are? Well, let's move on then to the second point. Provision for the future. Verses 28 to 35. God had placed Paul finally in Ephesus for these 3 years that we saw in verse 31. And there had been tremendous blessing there in Ephesus. If you look at chapter 19 and verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. It wasn't widely preached, it was preached powerfully. It prevailed in the hearts of men. There had been a work done in Ephesus. Witness the fact that he was able to call the elders. There had been a work established there in Ephesus. And it was an ongoing work. And Paul had been instrumental. He'd been a blessing there to that work, in establishing that work in Ephesus. But now he's about to move on. But you know, if he's been such a blessing, and he's now leaving them, and they'll never see him again, the work's got to carry on. And so here he is making provision so that it might carry on. Think of ourselves. We come to a crossroads. We're moving on. For whatever reason, we'll come to that in a minute. If we have been the sort of people that we should be, where God has placed us, then there'll be a gap when we move on. How's that gap going to be filled? What's going to happen in that gap as we leave it? Just like the Lord Jesus in that high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, how he prayed for those disciples, for their safety, now that he was going. And here's Paul, concerned for these people. Notice first of all in verse 28, he says to these elders, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. They were not there because of some popular democratic vote, because a lot of people liked them. They were there because God had placed them there. Just like he had been in Ephesus, God had placed them there and used him there, and now he was moving on. But God had put in place these elders. You remember how when Elijah was taken up into heaven, Elisha was able to see him, and he was promised a double portion of Elijah's spirit. The work had to go on, you see. Had to go on. And so here's Paul. He's speaking to them, and he's reminding them that they're there by God's provision, by his providence. And secondly, he tells them to be faithful. Look again then at verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. Verse 31. Therefore watch and remember. It's challenging them. You know, we do tend to drift through life, don't we? And Paul's saying, no drifting. There's a gap to be filled. I'm moving on. He reminds them of the way in which he'd behave. Look at verses 33 to 35. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me I have showed you all things, how that so labouring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He's challenging them. And he's pointing out his own example. See, if you've been faithful, you can afford to point to your example as you move on and leave others to fill the gap. And then finally he prays with them. Verse 36. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. He's concerned for the work to go on. Just as with the Lord Jesus. Just as was Elijah and Elisha. Concerned that the work should go on. Do you view the place where you are, where God has placed you, as a place where you're ministering now, And when you move on, there will be a ministry to continue. Is that your view of your role, where you are now? And then we come finally to this third question, Paul's own future, verses 22 to 25. We come to a crossroads. There's always this question, when should I move on? And where should I go? And if you look at verse 22, you find how Paul answers that question. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit. As we've watched Paul in this series, we've seen over and over again how he was concerned to be at the very center of God's will for him. He says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit. There was no doubt in his mind. He was going because God was calling him to go. The other Sunday when we had a church tea, in time, I was going to say something about Abraham and the archaeologists who found Ur of the Chaldees. And they found that it was a sophisticated town. It was a town of great knowledge and great learning and great comfort. And Abraham was called to go out to a place he didn't know. And as we know, to considerable discomfort and difficulties. But he was content to go because God commanded him to go forward. Those are the grounds on which Paul here goes forward, and is content that he won't see these people again because he felt himself to be bound in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. And there were all sorts of worries. Look at verse 23. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. It was going to be a painful pathway, and sometimes as we come to crossroads in our lives, we can see that it's going to be painful, it's going to be difficult, it's not attractive. But you see how he goes on in verse 24. None of these things move me, neither I count on my life dear unto myself. See his objective. So that I might finish my course. You see that? Consciousness of being where God placed him, at the very center of God's will. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Course that God had mapped out before him, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul, anxious, fastidious to remain at the very center of God's will for him. And that's how he goes forward in this concern to be absolutely at the center of God's will for him. Good works, foreordained that we should walk in them. Paul's living that out. He wasn't just a man of words. He didn't just write that in Ephesians 2:10. That's the way he lived him, his life. At the very center of God's will. Is that how we deal with changes in our lives? Now you may say to me, well, this is all very well, but my life is on a bit of a plateau. I don't see any changes in the near future. This is really not touching me. Maybe next time something changes in my life, I'll remember these 3 points and I'll review the past and make sure that whatever I've been doing for the Lord continues and be prayerful about my future. But just now, I'm in calm waters and nothing is changing. But suppose when the next crossroads comes in your life, you do remember these points, and you sit down and you start to review your life, and you find that you've failed the Lord in that place where he's put you. And you can't say what Paul said in verse 26. I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Surely now is the time to make sure that you're on the right pathway, so that when you do have to move on, you'll be able to say with Paul, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Parents with children leaving home, children leaving parents, honour thy father and mother, that thy days may be long. Going to college, leaving college, going to work, leaving work, retiring, and even dying, friends, neighbours, moving house. You know, all of us, there are people around us to whom we minister, in a lesser sense, but still, in a sense, as Paul did, as these elders did, minister the people around us. We have responsibility for them. God has placed us amongst them. And now is the time to make sure that our lives are what God expects of us, so that when we do move on, we can look back and say, well, I've done what God expected of me in that place. But finally, as we just come to an end, there is one crossroads that every one of us encounters in life, and it's the crossroads of Calvary, the place where Christ was crucified. Because you see, for every one of us, there is this issue: what did I make of Jesus Christ? Now that is a mighty crossroads. It's a decision which has the most profound, eternal consequences for each one of us. And you might sit there and you might say, well, I'm really not very interested. I've got other things on my mind, and I'm not against the gospel and Christ crucified, but I've got other things on my mind. I'm rather busy. I'm just not interested. I'm sitting on the fence. But you know, there are no fences at Calvary. There's no fence to sit on there. The Lord Jesus, in his ministry in Matthew 12, he said, he that is not with me is against me. You are either with Christ or against him. You are either guilty of the sins of your past or forgiven. You are either awaiting judgment or pardoned. It's a crossroads that every one of us is in the midst of in all of our lives, until we decide which way we're going to go. This is the most significant crossroads. Will have the most significant impact on all of our lives, what we do with Christ. And if you decide to go to Christ, to seek forgiveness for your past, then all of these three things that we've been talking about come into force. As you look at your past, there'll be sins that you want to take to him for forgiveness. There will be people that you'll want to go to and tell them of your conversion. You want to steer them for their future's good. And you'll need to be prayerful about your future. You see, we can't just drift through life. Life is moving on. We have to be responsible. Are we living as Christ intended us to? Are we honouring Him? Will we be able to say, as Paul said, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Let's all pray. Our Father, as we bow before Thee, we are conscious that Thou dost search the hearts and the minds of men. Thou dost know our down sitting and our uprising. And our Father, Thou knowest, as we bow before Thee, just what sort of people we truly are. And we look to Thee and we pray that Thou wilt search us and know us and lead each one of us in the way everlasting. Help us, our God, to be faithful ambassadors for Christ, to live out the gospel. And we do pray for any who do not know Thee as their Saviour, that Thou give them no peace. Draw near to them. Show them their need of making a decision at Calvary's crossroads. In His name we ask it. Amen.